Welcome to Knights Around the Table, a show where the Knights of Columbus, Fulton J. Sheen, Council 7612, sit around the WSJF studio conference table and discuss their involvement and contributions to the St. Joseph community and the areas around Sykesville and Eldersburg. Here is the host of the show, Eric Glazer.
Hello, we are the Knights of Columbus, Fulton J. Sheen Council 7612, and this is Knights Around the Table. This show is designed to inform the community who the Knights are and how we integrate with the St. Joseph community. Let's start with the Lord's Prayer.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm Eric Glazer, past Grand Knight, and today I'm here with a full crowd.
This is Rob Somerville, current Deputy Grand Knight.
I'm Josh Beck, never been Grand Knight.
Yet.
This is Rich Perron, and I'm a past Grand Knight, 1995-96.
Wow.
Ancient history.
All right, just a reminder that we have the weekly rosary at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesdays. We have multiple opportunities every week for the rosary, but the 7:30 p.m. is our night's hour. That is the, what is that?
World Peace.
World Peace.
Rosary for World Peace.
The other events we have on a rotating regular basis, M&T Bank. We've got a couple home games at the end of December into January. I'm going to make the call now. It's not looking like a home playoff game, but you never know. Amazing things happen in January. The Ravens are home on December 21st. That's Ravens Steelers, so that's always a big game. That's a 4:30 start. And they're home on January 5th. That's Ravens Browns. That one's still set at flex time. So we don't know what time that game is going to be. Other upcoming events in December, we have on December 14th, the Starry Night Sheens, Carols, and Tree Lighting. That's Saturday night. So that event will kick off after the Saturday evening mass. We'll go out to the tree. We'll sing some carols out there. We'll do the tree lighting. Following that, we all come in for spaghetti dinner and a movie.
Mm.
We come in for a movie, The Star. During that event, we're going to be collecting some supplies for
the Little Sisters of the Poor. Yes.
Like what?
All right. So the Little Sisters seek and need the following items for their residence: individual cups of pudding, chocolate and vanilla, both regular and sugar-free, individual cups of applesauce, fruit cups, small individual bags of potato chips, cookies, peanut butter crackers, Splenda, Lipton tea bags, Keurig coffee pods, sodas, body wash, shampoo, no conditioner, mouthwash, boxes of tissues, toilet paper, table napkins, bottled water, batteries, both AA and AAA, hypoallergenic laundry detergent and regular detergent, fabric softener sheets, dishwasher pods, liquid dishwasher detergent, liquid hand soap, plastic teaspoons for medicine, 5 or 4 ounce plastic or paper cups for medicine, grocery cards, both Giant Foods and Walmart, and cash donations, of course, are always accepted.
So that event rounds up a whole lot for us. That becomes our annual Christmas party as well. So we got a lot to be happy for, and that's going to be a great night for us. What else do we have going on, Rob?
All right. So January, we got a couple of things. These events are open to everyone in the parish and everyone you know. Another spaghetti dinner and family-friendly movie on January 18th. I think the movie's TBD on that. Like all movie nights, includes salty popcorn, a variety of desserts. Feel free to bring a dessert to share. January 22nd is a 7612 Council regular. It's a bingo gift card night. So bring your gift cards you want to play and trade. We give you bingo cards for every card you bring in, and you win the gift cards as bingo prizes. So that's always a good time. And an important event that is everybody should put on their calendar, January 24th. That's March for Life in D.C. So keep the day, consider a bus ride to D.C., celebrate our victories, and get focused on the many challenges we know that still exist in front of us when it comes to the pro-life movement. So more details on the next show to follow on that.
Excellent. That takes us through January. I remember we always did the gift card bingo in January because it was a safe event. Because invariably weather gets in the way. So yeah. It's an easy one to cancel if we have to, and it's a fun one to do, and it's light to plan, so...
And you get a chance to get rid of those gift cards that you really don't want.
Maybe you received them at Christmas and you want to
re-gift them. That's where I thought he was going, and then he started talking about weather.
You want to throw that into?
Sure. So Christmas Mass times coming up. Christmas Eve, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and midnight Mass. I think the 7 and midnight Mass Masses will have incense, and then... 10 o'clock on Christmas Day, Christmas morning. So figure out which Mass you're going to, but make sure you get to one of them.
All right. Well, we are, just a reminder, the Knights Around the Table here at St. Joseph. And just a reminder who's in the room tonight. I'm Eric Klaser.
Rob Somerville.
Josh Beck.
And Rich Perron.
I thought I'd take a moment and discuss some national projects of the Knights of Columbus and just kind of run through how we use those national projects at our local level. And all you guys have experience with some of those, and feel free to chime in on what you remember. We were just mentioning it before, but at the end of the month in January is our March for Life. March for Life has a heavy Knights of Columbus presence down there. You get down to Washington, D.C., you can't look left or right without seeing a Brother Knight down there. Locally, we have been for years sponsoring a bus. We'll sponsor a bus that leaves the church parking lot. Every year it varies, but we try to get down for Mass, and then we get up to the mall for the event, the march, and take the bus home. And it makes for great transportation for anybody locally at the church, because you don't have to worry about driving. You don't have to worry about parking. You can just get on the bus. Usually we say a rosary on the way down. It's a really nice day. I know I did it a lot at some times, and I'm kind of in a dry spell. I think maybe this might be the year for me to get on and get down there again. Another big event nationally is the push for ultrasound. I know that there's a lot of incentives on the national level to encourage the locals to get involved. I know if we fundraise, I'm reading it off the site. I'm not sure exactly what the dollar amount is, but the Knights have made deals with ultrasound companies to get good prices on those ultrasound machines so we can get them into the pregnancy centers. And if we can fundraise for half the cost, the national will help us support half the cost. I thought this one was kind of neat because I never heard of this at all locally, but in some rural areas, they may have an ultrasound van that travels to specific locations. And the national kind of incentivizes the local to raise the cost of the van. So if the local can pay for the van, the national will pay for the ultrasound machine inside the van. And I can see how that could be really cool.
Really good, yes.
Really cool and beneficial. Mm-hmm. That's not anything we've done. But locally, we've given a lot of support to the Pregnancy Support Center up in Westminster.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I believe...
Yes, we did.
Yeah. I believe they're on their second machine from us at this point.
Yeah, I think last year we raised close to
$13,000. Presented them.
Yep, and that's going up each year over the last few years.
That's great. Phenomenal. Really neat situation. I know Westminster Council, St. John's Council, also does a lot to support that pregnancy center as well. So we provide a lot there. Another big campaign from the national level is Coats for Kids, and it sounds basic, but it's really well organized on the national level. It's kind of neat. They take care of the actual coats, and they leave it to the local councils to buy the coats and then find the locations to supply them. So it's been a project I've been a part of for, as I said, I know the relationship locally has existed for 7 years. And it is. It's really kind of neat. You go into the Knights of Columbus catalog, and they sell the bundles of coats. So we just purchase bundles of coats. And then from there, we deliver the bundles of coats to wherever we're going. For us, with Kathy Reed being a close connection at St. Joe's, we've supported Shepherd Staff with coats.
Right.
And I can throw out 7 years because I know it started before I was Grand Knight purchasing the coats. and making sure they get delivered up there. So that Coats for Kids program is really neat. I threw out the number 1 million, and Rich corrected me and said, what?
1.2 million last year.
As of last year, the Knights of Columbus have donated 1.2 million coats for kids in their project. So I think that's pretty neat.
That's a warming thought, isn't it?
You worked hard at that.
I take a lot of comfort in that. Yeah.
Those are national incentives. I was trying to make my little list of local incentives. Those are the three I came up with. Those three, of course, being for Mother Seton Academy, the Knights are an integral part of bringing them in for their Christmas shopping spree. So Mother Seton Academy students come into Eldersburg, get out to Walmart to do some Christmas shopping. We help with some gift cards. We help with some transportation and lunch. So that's a really neat program that we're part of. In addition to ultrasound machines, I know that as part of our socials, multiple times a year, we'll collect goodies for the Crisis Pregnancy Center to help supply their pantry. And the third one I thought of off the top of my head was we now have a family scholarship program for homeschools and Catholic schools. So those are different monetary supporting things that we do. Anybody think any other?
It was $10,000 we donated to that scholarship program this year.
Yeah.
And it's all local right here in the parish.
There's like 22 kids?
Yeah, it was 10 families. And it was like 22 kids. It includes homeschooling, which usually gets overlooked. And there is an expense there. So the Knights help support Catholic families that are homeschooling their children. So that was a great deal.
All these things happen as my kids get old. Those are the things I thought of. Josh, what do you?
So seeing that we are headed into the beginning of 2025, I thought it might be a good time to point out that the Holy Father has declared that 2025 is a Jubilee year. So a little bit about the Jubilee. First, in the Catholic Church, the concept of a Jubilee or a holy year was used to declare special years for forgiveness and reconciliation. The first Jubilee was declared by Pope Boniface VIII on the 22nd of February, 1300, which was the Feast of the Chair of Peter, to mark the beginning of that century. He later recommended it occur every 100 years. Various other popes changed the length of the interval between the observances, but Pope St. Paul II set the present 25-year interval in the 1500s, so holy years are ordinary when they occur at regular intervals, and extraordinary when they are proclaimed for a very special reason. More recently, a great jubilee was declared in 2000 by Pope St. John Paul II to celebrate the new millennium. That jubilee year brought the total number of universal jubilee years to 28 that so far had been celebrated by the Church. The 2025 jubilee, which has the theme of Pilgrims of Hope, will be a year of hope and trust for a world suffering the impacts of war, the ongoing impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the increased threats to the climate. Intended as a time of conversion and emphasis on God's mercy and forgiveness of sins, jubilees beginning with the opening of the Holy Door in St. Peter's Basilica. Holy doors at each of the four papal basilicas in Rome are designation points for pilgrims who pass through seeking special graces. In preparing spiritually for the 2025 jubilee, Pope Francis has asked Catholics, so that's all of us, to first study the key documents from the Second Vatican Council held between 1962 and 1965, and then begin 2024 by focusing on prayer. There's actually a special prayer that they have put out for the 2025 Jubilee. The Jubilee of Hope will begin in December of 2024 with Pope Francis opening the Holy Door at St. Peter's Basilica, offering the world's 1.3 billion Catholics the possibility of obtaining a plenary indulgence and a year of special graces. Jubilee of Hope will end on the Feast of the Epiphany in 2026. So kind of a neat thing. We've talked before about how I am a recent-ish convert to Catholicism, so this is my first Jubilee. I'm kind of excited to see what it's all about. I don't know if anything really special happens, but it sounds like it's a good time for reflection and focusing the world on Catholicism.
And I'm sure Supreme will come out with some guidelines for the Knights to put into practice too. So
yeah, and I think in one of the Columbus magazines they did mention that next year is going to be a Jubilee year.
Right.
So they probably will.
Yeah. The Knights of Columbus are actually the Pope's right hand, whenever they want something done. They pick up the red phone and call New Haven, and it gets done.
So we'll be standing by, is what you're saying.
Stand by, right.
Finally, the lecturer's report. Rich Perron is our council lecturer. In our regular business meetings, he presents informative items to the meeting. Rich, what do you have for us tonight?
And finally, and it's not the end, but talking about popes, I got some interesting information here about, we just recently celebrated All Souls Day and All Saints Day. So I thought I'd give you a little background here. Our current Pope Francis, anybody have an idea? Here's a good guess game here. How many saints have been canonized by Pope Francis? Well, I'm going to give the answer. It's 926.
I was so off.
He was so far. He was 926. Now you say, wait a minute. How can one person canonize that many people? Well, what happened in 2013, Pope Francis canonized 800 Italian martyrs that were living in a monastery, and they were attacked by the Turkish, and they were all slain. So there's 800 people. Now, these people that were waiting to be canonized had just been accumulating over the years, and apparently no pope ever had the time or it wasn't brought to their attention, so he decided it was time to canonize all these saints, so he did. And also on October 21st of 2024, he canonized 14 new saints, modern saints, at a mass at St. Peter's Square. This has included 11 martyrs of Damascus that were murdered in 1860 in another Franciscan monastery. So Pope Francis has also beatified 1,533 people since 2013. Beatified means brought them in line so that they can be canonized when all of the procedures are met. However, out of those 1,533, there were three that were canonized, was called equipollent, E-Q-U-I-P-O-L-L-E-N-T, as saints. And the reason the Pope can do that, and it allows the Pope to bypass the regular procedures when they know the people died for their faith, but there is no way to accumulate the information they need to canonize them. So a Pope on occasion can do that so that these people can be recognized and canonized without the normal procedure. Just as a sideline, if you ever wondered, it costs approximately $48,000 to process the paperwork and all of the information that's needed to canonize a saint in modern day. And sometimes that $48,000 could be a lot more, depending on how much research and the lawyer fees and everything else have. So I just thought you'd like to know that.
That generated about three shows worth of questions. Did they name each of those 8,000 monks?
I'm sure they did.
Did they put a miracle to each of those 8,000?
No, that's what I'm saying, because there was no way to record that information from those 800 that were massacred in that monastery.
Okay.
This goes back to the early 800s. So there was no records of that. And so they just took all these people because they died for their faith. See, most saints today died because they were very faithful. These people actually died for their faith. So like Father McGivney and Archbishop Sheen, they were faithful people who are going to be hopefully canonized very soon, but these people actually died protecting their faith. So it was a no-brainer that they were to become saints. It's just, it had never been done, and Pope Francis said, it's got to get done. He took care of it and got it all done. Another record-setting thing that he has done. Another milestone.
And we've all got our eyes on the...
On the list?
Well, that too, but I was going to say on Fulton J. Sheen. We keep tabs on...
And Father McGivney.
That's right.
Yes.
So maybe the Jubilee year will be good for us on those accounts. If you want to become a member of the Knights of Columbus, send an email to 7612kfc@gmail.com. We would love to have every Catholic man in Eldersburg and Sykesville become a member. You can always keep up with the Knights of Columbus events at our website, kfc7612.org. Please check it out. Email links are right there on the website if you have any questions from today's show. thanks for welcoming us to your radio tonight. Just a reminder, I was joined here tonight with
Rob Somerville,
Josh Beck,
and Rich Perron.
And I'm Eric Klaser. How about we close with a Hail Mary?
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been Knights Around the Table. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Knights Around the Table. We look forward to the next conversation about who the Knights are and what they're up to. Thanks to WSJF for broadcasting the show and Molly Klaser for her tireless engineering support. We'll see you next time.